This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
And you're good to mama. Mama's good to you.
I turn to you like a flower leaning toward the sun. I turn to you, cause you're the only one.
And when I fall down, I have to pick myself back.
This is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome everyone. I am Michelle Barber and you are listening to Stand Up Straight, where we aim to provide a vehicle for the allied supporters to stand up for our GLBTI community, to encourage and create greater inclusion, share stories, give advice, create dialogue or introduce a new way of thinking, and most importantly, to facilitate change towards greater acceptance of our rainbow family in all its shapes and sizes. So tonight, it's me and another gentleman in the studio, and he is going to share his story of growing up a devout Mormon, being a gay man, and the torment, maybe or maybe not, over leaving the church, and then finally finding balance somewhere in between. So I'm going to call him Brendan, but we're also going to say that perhaps the show tonight, Brendan, is Confessions of a Gay Ex-Mormon.
Oh, welcome. Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Do you like that title? Is that a good one?
It is. It's pretty great. It's an awesome title.
It is?
Yeah, very, very apt, very... describes
it's perfect,
perfect,
yeah.
Perfect.
So confessions. So maybe we might get a few confessions. Maybe we might just get
We'll see.
So one of the questions, look, there's lots and lots of questions. It's your life compared to the life that I have led is so vastly different. And I would love for people to get an idea of what it was like to a degree in the Mormon Church. What made you, whether you came out in the church or didn't, how long you're in the church, what your life was like when you first left and then sort of now. So that's sort of that timeline. So as far as the Mormon Church is concerned, what are some, just in a general sense, sort of the beliefs or the key core values that they have and that sort of thing?
Yep. It's really focused on the family. They're very much about spending a lot of time with your family, and their concept of the afterlife, or as you would call it, or heaven and hell, is that you, if you do the right thing, you're going to spend the rest of your life in the afterlife with your family. If you don't, well, you don't end up with your family in the next life. That's pretty much it in a nutshell.
What? Is it almost like a bit of a threat? I know you might not have thought of it that way.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah. I guess so. You could look at it as kind of a threat, or I guess some people would see it as a good thing to not end up with your family in the next life, depending on what your family's like. But
yeah,
it really depends, I guess. Look, family is key to the Mormon religion, and everything is focused very much around the family. It is very similar to other Christian religions. It's very, follow the Ten Commandments, that kind of thing. Mm. It's very devout, though, in that it's not just go to church on Easter
the
weekend
and,
or the holidays or Christmas. It's 24/7.
Would you go every day?
I didn't go every day, but there are, for example, church classes that you would have before school that you attend from when you're about 14 onwards. So, and then you're constantly living it, constantly talking about it in the home. There's different activities that are held different nights of the week through church. And
did you pray every day?
Every day, morning, night.
Wow. Was this something that you felt you had to do, or because that's what you had to do, or did you ever feel that you wanted to as well?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I was born into the church, so it was my whole life from as far back as I can remember. Mm. There was a very long time where I did believe it. Yeah. And was very, very much committed to the cause.
But everyone around you was of the same faith, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Everybody grew up with my family. My family have been members of the church for a very long time. It's intergenerational, which is quite unusual in Australia as well, because a lot of them are members that have been converted recently or within the past generation, whereas my family is intergenerational.
So is that a different mindset for people that are new to the church or the faith versus people that are intergenerational? Is that a difference?
I guess the culture is more ingrained in families that are more that have been in the church longer. It's not just a religion as such. It's a way of life. It's a culture. It's everything that your family does.
Well, it's your grandparents, your cousins, your aunts, uncles, everyone around you. We've got a big story, so I've got...
Sure.
How unusual. I've got lots and lots of questions. But what's the church's view on homosexuality? First, the question is, did you know what their view was growing up? And then did you find out when you were older?
I guess you do know it as you grow up, but the church has gone through many stages over the past couple of decades where it's changed and their policies changed. Their most recent policy is that they do accept homosexuals in the congregation. However, they have to live a celibate life and not practice.
So name only.
Yeah.
Would that be the
name
way?
Only. Yeah. Name only. Yeah. And you can, the church, it's only in the past, in fact, even after I've come out, that they've actually said that you can be out at church now, whereas when I grew up it was if you are struggling with, they call it same-sex attraction, you have to keep that quiet so that nobody else can find out except for maybe your family
or catch it. Did you ever get that sense that that's what they thought, that it was something that could be changed? And
Definitely, because... From about the age of 15, when I first came out to my family, because I was noticing that I was noticing things different that all my friends weren't noticing at school, while they were maybe checking out all the girls, I was looking at the guys.
They're brothers,
exactly. I spoke to my parents about that because I very much believed the church, and I told them that I thought I struggled with same-sex attraction. And
did you think it was wrong? Did you think you were wrong?
I did.
Yeah?
I did, definitely. And their view at the time was that it's a challenge from God to try to overcome. So they believe that it kind of is a choice, but it can be changed. So I actually started counselling through the church to...
I've heard the terminology of, like, pray the gay away. Is that what they try and... encourage you to do, or the congregation to pray for you, or the family pray for you?
Yeah, there is. They do encourage you to pray quite a lot about it, and to try to follow the church rules, as letter of the law is what they would say. Because if you do the right thing, their mentality is that God will bless you, and eventually you'll receive your miracle and overcome.
Okay, right. So that's your reward. If you try hard enough, you'll get through this and live a happy, straight, heterosexual.
Yeah.
Lifestyle.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's very much
right.
Was there
talk about, was this kind of like a sheltered life for you, or did you not realise it was sheltered until you came out of the church?
I always thought my family, the life that I lived wasn't sheltered, because my family were quite open in that I was able to, I guess, mix with people that weren't members of the church.
Yeah.
However, since coming out, I've realised I've lived a very sheltered life. So it's been very interesting.
Did you realise that you were questioning yourself from a very young age, or was it only when you realised that the guys were looking at girls, but you were looking at guys.
Looking back, I can definitely say that I can see things that were very much different about me and things that I noticed. I didn't have a label for that until I was about 14, 15. And looking back, there were definitely things my family will admit to you that they noticed things that were a little bit different about me. My dad will be the first to say I was probably a little bit oversensitive as a kid. And
it's true. I've heard that often said too, and it's said it is like a negative, but I don't think it's a negative.
Yep.
But you just said you spoke to your family.
Yep.
So was that an official coming out, or was it just like a kind of a conversation, let's test the waters, or did you actually officially come out?
Well, I guess I always say that I came out twice. The first time that I told them at 15, it was, I'm struggling with same-sex attraction. I need to change. Or what can I do? What can the church do to help me? So it was very different to the second time that I came out 10 years later.
Yeah. Tell me about that.
So it was a process over about a year where I actually had, growing up in the church, and through the counselling that they do, they tell you not to associate with any other gays out of fear that you might actually end up hooking up.
Yes. hey, were you out of the church at this time, the second coming out?
The second coming out was where I went, I'm not going back to church.
Okay.
I don't believe it anymore, and I'm embracing who I am. That was pretty much the second coming out.
Was it that simple? Was it that you, line in the sand, I am not pretending anymore?
It was a process. It really was a process that just took time. I questioned a lot of things in the church. I had to speak to a lot of people. Flew actually down to Melbourne because I'm from the Gold Coast originally, and flew down to Melbourne because I had come across another gay ex-Mormon and spoke to him at length about lots of different things to find out, because to me he was the first person that I had met who had a similar sort of story who I could openly chat and ask all the questions that I had, because I was, as I said before, I was very sheltered, even though I may not have realised it at the time.
And was that person a bit of a guide?
Yeah, definitely a guide.
And did you kind of have this sense of, oh my, there's all these doors now that I can start opening? There's a lot of questions to ask, but is that how you felt? It's like this revelation?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And different doors. I mean, last time I was in Melbourne as well, I was a Mormon missionary.
Oh, good.
So that was different doors. I was knocking on very different doors. So,
they are. we are going to take a break. You are with Michelle and Brendan. What are we calling you, Brendan?
Confessions of a Gay Ex-Mormon. Ex-Mormon.
Yes, we love that. You're on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. Be an ally. Talk it out. Educate yourself. Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. You are still with Michelle and Brendan, and we're talking about the confessions of a gay ex-Mormon. Why I said it in that voice, I don't know, Brendan. I don't know.
I have no idea either.
Yeah, I know, it's a weird thing. I can't come up with these strange voices. I don't know why. Brendan, I just wanted to get a little bit of a feel about, do you have siblings?
Yeah, I do. Yeah? Yeah? I do, actually.
And how they felt, cousins, family, that sort of thing about you, what they were like, what it was like growing up, and even a bit now, what happens with them?
Well, I have a very large family, being a Mormon. I actually have two older half-brothers. I have a younger sister, and I also have 10 step-brothers and sisters.
Oh,
so it's quite a large blended family. They've all reacted in different ways, and their initial reaction is very different to how they react to me now. So,
Public reaction and a private reaction?
There very much is a public and a private reaction. Mm. Look, my brothers and my siblings were great. I guess the hardest thing was telling them that I wasn't going to go to church anymore, and I think they found that harder than the necessarily coming out and telling them, I'm gay and I'm now going to live this lifestyle.
Mm.
They I guess, look, my family's, I like to call them liberal Mormons, not liberal as in true. The Liberal Party sense, but liberal as in, you know, very
liberal-minded.
A little bit more open-minded. Yeah. My own auntie actually said to me that she believed I was born that way, which even though that sounds quite, you know, just as a matter of fact, for a Mormon to actually say that
when they're
pretty much the church is quite vocal at saying that it's more of an environmental sort of factor that leads to.
So was it a bit of gossip?
Definitely. My dad texted everyone as soon as I came out. So I actually got Facebook messages, Brendan, we support you 100%, or Brendan, we need to talk about this. And I'm just, they're going, what's going on? And it was a mass family text message.
So what about the church? Is there a private and a public? Is there that public stance, as you said before, but like behind closed doors, do people, did you find that you could have conversations with people but they couldn't publicly acknowledge or support you? Did you find that?
Yes. Yeah. And it's very much an individual decision. Mm. The church, the church is quite vocal in what they think, but then the individuals still choose to follow or how they interpret that. I mean, look, I had friends that said they didn't want anything to do with me anymore because our friendship was based on religion, whereas I had other friends that were quite supportive and said, look, no matter what you choose, even if it isn't, my opinion was it's not a choice, but, you know, no matter what, if you are going to go down this path and leave the church, we're still going to be your friends, we're still going to support you, we still love you, respect you, and...
Did you ever think that you could change their mind, anyone in the church, that you might be the one person that could change things?
I still do, and I kind of hope in time I do. I look, my dad's own opinion has changed very much. Originally, I think he was very much of the opinion that it is something that you that's environmental or that it can be changed or something you can choose. Whereas now he will openly acknowledge that, you know, he knew something was different about me from a very early age. And, I think his opinion's changed very much.
Was that one of the hardest things, the parents' reaction, or, you know, did you ever feel you'd be kicked out of home? Did you ever think that that might have happened?
I was living on my own at the time anyway, when I decided that it was now time to leave the church. Mm. I was very much one of those people that I was either I'm going to follow the church or I'm going to leave it. I didn't want to live a secret life. But my dad, I guess he would look, he was at the time, his reaction, it was very hard. And he reacted in some ways that were quite hurtful and painful. I mean, my mother had passed away 10 years, well, it's 10 years this year, she had passed away from breast cancer. So she never actually, she had my first coming out, but she didn't have the second coming out, unfortunately. Dad made a couple of comments at the time that he felt God had taken Mum from Earth because she wouldn't be able to cope with what was happening. And since then, my father's been quite vocal at saying sorry and apologising for things like that. And I think his opinion's definitely changed, and he's quite supportive and would like, just like any good dad, I think, and he wants his son to be happy. And
you do, but to hear a statement like that, I mean, do you remember how you felt at that moment?
Definitely. I didn't get, my sister was there as well. It was just before Christmas. 3 years ago, and I didn't get any support from my family. My sister didn't even stick up for me at the time, which I thought
I
just stood there and went, right.
Gosh.
And it wasn't even, at the time, it wasn't even worth fighting about it. It just...
So what's that's a massive statement for your own father to say. So how do you get to a point of sort of where you are now? I know it's a big question, but that's a hell of... I've heard it also said that we ask a lot of our parents. Mm. My guests have said, I've had trans men and women on, and they say, you know, that there's a lot to ask of our family and friends. So you're asking of a lot of them. How does your dad get to a stage getting over that kind of statement? Hurtful.
I have to say it's thanks to my stepmom. Mm. My dad remarried a year and a half after my mum passed away, and as I mentioned, I have 10 stepbrothers and sisters, and my stepmom has two children that are both identify as, one of them's lesbian and one of them's gay.
Wow.
And she thankfully helped my father get through that because she had been through that process. And look, she reacted the same way as my dad did to her own children, but because she had those years of experience, she was able to guide him through that and help him, I guess, see that.
So. Yeah. Well, it's nice that he's – well, nice is a flip word, but it is that he's been able to then be a support for you. I'm just wondering, in relation to marriage and kids, was there ever talk about – what your plan would have been in the church, when you'd be getting married, what, or did you have an idea, well, I'll be married by the time I'm 20, five kids, this. Was there ever that, are you laughing?
Yeah, I'm
is
laughing.
That true?
Look, most of them, okay, so you, generally men in the church are expected to serve a mission from 19 to 21, so it's a two-year mission. Generally, most of them are married by the time they turn 22 and they've come back. So I actually served a mission and was a missionary in Melbourne, knocking on doors. I used to stand out the front of the State Library. I don't know if they're still there sometimes.
But when the marriage equality rally's on.
I'm standing outside the library for very different reasons now. But, there was this expectation that I probably would be married by the time I'm 24, which just for obvious reasons never happened.
We've had a message in, Tracy from Eltham. It's actually her birthday today. I just want to read out. She was excommunicated from the Mormon Church when she came out. She says that she knew she would be, but she was terrified that she would lose the friendships. They assured me that they wouldn't lose her friendships, but now no one has spoken to me since, and that's nearly 2 years ago. That's Tracy. That's does that ring any bells a little bit?
Yeah, look, it definitely does, and I actually, my heart goes out to Tracy for experiencing that, because I've been in the same sort of situation. I can say there are some great friends that I still have that are Mormon, similar to her story, the majority of my friends didn't want anything to do with me. That was partly my decision to move to Melbourne, having grown up on the Gold Coast. So,
are they scared, do you think? They're scared of what the church will do and say and whatever,
definitely.
So it's better to
definitely
not say anything. Yep. Yeah. So it's fear-based.
Very much fear-based.
Wow. We've had somebody that you may or may not know called Michael.
Yes, I know Michael.
Michael here from the Gold Coast. I'm listening to your show for the very first time and have been overall quite impressed with your music, your website and topics of discussion. Brendan is my best friend and we met a few years ago when I was selling a property in his complex. I'm a real estate agent on the Gold Coast. So a big hello to you both and enjoying listening to you guys tonight. From Michael, that's really lovely.
Hi, Michael.
Thank you. That's nice. You got fans already.
Oh.
First time on the air. And from Sam, driving home from work, listening to the interview, Confessions of a Gay Ex-Mormon, tears running down my face, listening to your journey, growth and strength. Wow. Oh,
thanks, Sam.
That's, I don't know what to say. I think what we forget sometimes is that what we're talking about is our lives, and for other people sometimes it's more than just our lives. It's we're telling their stories or helping them on a journey or a difficult time that they might be having. And I thank you, Sam, that it does mean a lot that we are touching people's hearts. And I think it's very, very important. And again, that's why this radio station is so important and doing shows like this, I think. I'm just wondering whether at any point did you ever feel that you were being naive about what would eventually happen in your life from when, yeah?
Definitely. Look, I think even the church acknowledges that in their with their actual trained psychologists that they only have success in 5% of cases.
Why don't they just give up?
I wish they would. But that's why their policies kind of changed in recent years as well, where they're saying, well, we can't actually change you guys now, but if you decide to live a celibate life, we'll still keep you in the church. So.
Did you, in kind of following on from that, when you, and we're going to have a break in a moment, but sure. When we'll come back about what sort of made you leave the church and then what happened after, but did you sort of, were you at sort of a fragile childlike state at that point where you were just thinking, I've got to get out? Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah, it does. Look, it was a lot of reflection, a lot of kind of, as I said, it was a process. It was a couple of years, really, until I actually had the courage to say I'm leaving, and not going back, because you do grow up with this mentality and being taught that you can change, and that's the hardest thing. And there's actually there was probably a time where I felt a lot of pain, as if I had as if God had forgotten me, from
and that you'd let people down,
and that I would let people down.
And were you guilt ridden?
Totally guilt-ridden. Yeah. Totally guilt-ridden.
So how do you get rid of that guilt? I mean, it's a rhetorical question in a sense, but how do you?
Look, I still have some mornings where I wake up and I have what I call Mormonism, or Mormonisms, where I kind of go, holy crap.
What have I done?
But then I talk through it all and kind of get the support of friends and go, you know, I've done the right thing, and I know I've done the right thing. It's just after 25 years of being indoctrinated and brought up in that kind of environment, it's very hard to just forget overnight.
Oh, so, nor could you.
Exactly.
I would think that, well, it's in your DNA in a sense, isn't it?
Yep.
So you can't just, you know, click
you can't
of a
just
finger.
Switch it off.
No,
and,
no.
It's taken a lot of. A lot of having to talk to people, and I was very lucky to have a psychologist up in Brisbane who was an ex-Mormon who was able to help me through some of the demons that you have to face when you as you're challenging, I guess, what you've been brought up believing as well.
Yeah. So we are going to take a break now. We're going to come back and talk to Brendan, find out some more of his confessions, and find out about what's happened, like the good and the happy stuff that's happened in your life as well, Brendan. You are on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. She's my mum.
Welcome back, everyone, to Stand Up Straight with Michelle and Brendan. So Brendan, we've had another message in from lovely Eric, who does office admin here. In fact, was in here early this evening and this afternoon. Hi, Michelle. Just want to say it is a delight to hear Brendan. A very courageous thing to come out to your family, especially considering it's a double jeopardy, to also say that you are not going to your church. I am not religious, but I could only imagine what you might have had to go through. If you don't have a partner, what would happen if you were wanting to introduce your partner to your family? Would they be accepting? Loving the show, and cheers from Eric.
My dad, and look, there are some family that would be accepting and some that wouldn't. I have had a partner in the past and introduced him to my father, and that was all right. Mm. I think it was a big learning curve for all of us.
Yeah.
But I have some family as well that I have been quite vocal in saying that they, even if I have a partner, they're not at a stage where they really want to meet them. So it's kind of, yeah.
Slowly.
Yeah.
I would suppose also you've got to be mindful, as I touched on before, of how people feel. So if you're going to be all bombastic and you know, have it right up in their face, you often don't get the response.
Yeah.
They're not as receptive as you might want. Wondering, being an ally show as we are here, whether you've had any particular people either throughout the church and coming out, and now whether there's people that have kind of been there to guide you, with that soft place to fall, which I do like to say quite often. Have there been?
In all honesty, not really. That's probably been the hardest thing, is that the church actually asks you to keep it very secret. They don't want you to tell other people, because the church is quite aware that there's actually quite a few of us that they would say are all struggling with same-sex attraction, and they don't want us to meet up and find out who each other are. They kind of very much want it to be kept secret. It's only, as I mentioned, in the recent couple of years that they've actually said now that you can be out at church, but you're not to practice at all being gay. So,
what about after you came out of the church? Was there anybody that you were able to turn to? Actually, is there totally unplanned question, but is there any kind of ex-Mormon support group, or do you kind of just seek them out?
Not really in Australia, but it's quite funny. It seems like there's a whole group of us that seem to flock to Melbourne, and we've almost started our own sort of little support group where we occasionally meet, and it's a bit funny actually. Where the In the church, they do this thing called family home evening every Monday night where you're expected to stay at home with your family. And we've kind of started our own group where we have family homo evening.
Come on, that's very good. We do try.
We aim for once a month, but we're lucky to get once every 3 months getting us all together. But we are trying to support each other a little bit through that. So
family is so important. So, in fact, that's the essence of everything that you know or did, or that you knew and that you grew up with. So when you come out of the church, so how do you create your own family? Is it, and I'm guessing I kind of know the answer, but is it that you seek out like-minded people? What happens? How do you get your family?
You do seek out like-minded people. And for me personally, I had to move. That was I had to find myself somewhere else. I grew up on the Gold Coast, as I mentioned before, and it was difficult because I would run into people from church and at the shopping centre. And
did they walk away?
Oh, they did.
Were they trying to avoid you?
Try to avoid me, walk away. Try to invite me maybe to more church activities.
Introduce you to their daughter, that kind of thing.
That happened. Yes, it did happen. So,
Did people just think, we'll just keep persisting, eventually he'll give in?
I think some people didn't know, or maybe they just pretended that they didn't know. Yeah. Who knows?
Have you had people that have tried to contact you from the church since you've left?
Yes, yeah, I have had a few try to contact wanting me to come back and go through what they would call the repentance process to have full fellowship back within the church. So,
and do you sort of shut them down, or what?
I try to be respectful because in some ways I see it as that they do care in one sort of, I mean, look, the fact that they are trying to reach out suggests to me that they do care in some way. As far as their understanding goes.
That's a hard one, I know. If they're trying, you kind of, you want to give them a little bit of something, but do you really need to have them in your life? I don't know.
No. Look, there are some that I've cut off and I've had to do that. There are others that I feel are genuinely do care, and they're the ones that you keep in your life and have that mutual respect.
Yeah. Is there, because the religion was so paramount in your life, so I don't mean specifically, but your belief system and your spirituality, if you have or don't have, do you have that in your life? How do you reconcile that?
I think I'm still trying to reconcile that. It's been difficult. I've really struggled with going from believing that there is an afterlife or some sort of heaven and hell to suddenly questioning if it even really exists. Mm. And sometimes the best way I can cope with it is just go, I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Do you still pray?
No.
Do you ever get times where you think, do you get moments where you think, maybe I should?
There probably have been a couple of moments where I have gone, I really need to talk to someone and maybe haven't had someone, and I've found myself speaking out loud to some sort of idea of God.
Yeah.
But
so do you think there's a God? You don't have to answer,
that's a tricky question.
Actually.
Can I just say I honestly don't know? I just don't have any idea. I don't have the evidence.
There is a God. There's no right or wrong. I know that. There is no right or wrong answer, but I just, you know, again.
There's a part of me, I guess, because of my upbringing, that kind of still hopes there is something more.
Mm.
But my kind of belief system right now is that I don't think there is.
That was actually my next question. You questioned your beliefs?
Yeah, definitely.
Does it change? Is it an evolving thing?
I think it is evolving.
Yeah.
In that regards, I'm still probably trying to find out what I actually do believe. But I kind of just settle it by saying I don't know.
So have you had to entirely start your life new when you left the church?
Pretty much. Mm. Pretty much. For me, I was on the coast for a year, and then eventually I just felt that it was too much facing different people, family, friends that were struggling just as much as I probably was,
yeah,
and felt that I needed to go somewhere else. And my family will never move south of the Murray River. So it was, Melbourne was the best choice.
And that, I would think then, you're cutting all ties, relocating, you come down here, no one knows you really. Yep. You can be, this sounds really new age. Is it like a rebirthy type thing? Yeah,
definitely.
I wish we had another hour, Brenda, but we've got to go for a quick break. We'll be back. You're on A Stand Up Straight with Michelle.
This Joy program has a podcast and you can subscribe to it at joy.org.au.
Did you beep that out, the word sex? I hope so.
Parents in the room.
I wanted to shock my mother.
Oh, he's getting all hot and flustered. I hope Grandma's not listening.
Oh, Grandma.
This is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
You are with Michelle and Brendan, the very fashionable ex-Mormon. That's a new title, yes. On that, actually, were you restricted to what you wore, what music you listened to, TV shows, movies, all that kind of stuff?
Totally. Yeah? So you're not allowed to wear clothes that are above your kind of your elbow.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to wear short shorts. Certain shows. I mean, we were talking about Will and Grace before.
Yeah.
I heard you both speaking outside, and I was like, I was never allowed to watch that. That was banned in my house. So, there were heaps of TV shows I wasn't allowed to watch. And
did you know about them? And
I did know about them. Yeah. My brothers and I used to sneak in The Simpsons when Mum and Dad would be out on a date, because that was banned. But so we did know about them. But
Did you ever go to the movies?
Yeah, we went. We went to the movies, but there was still kind of. I guess they kind of leave it up to each family to decide. So when you ask different families, some of them would go and see MA 15 plus movies, that kind of thing. My family was probably a little bit, as I mentioned before, a little bit more liberal. So I was still allowed to go and see maybe the MA 15 plus movies and that kind of thing. But there are families in the church that would be very strict and say they're not allowed to see anything over PG.
Yeah. So what about dating?
Did that exist?
Did you do
I tried tried dating, but wasn't very successful. Usually I found the girls were trying to kiss me and I would turn my head away. But it's quite convenient when you can say that there's no sex before marriage.
Yeah.
So you can kind of use that as an excuse to get out of a bad date or
You chicken, you.
For obvious reasons.
Yeah. So we're nearly finished. So I wanted to ask you two questions very quickly.
Yep.
What's the biggest lesson that you've learnt?
Biggest lesson? Probably be honest with myself. And that sums it up. There's so many lessons. It's just be honest with myself, who I am, and not be afraid to let others know who I am as well.
Yeah.
And that's probably the best.
That kind of leads into my very last question, which is, what advice would you have for others that might be contemplating leaving, or even just having that seed of thought?
I think it would probably be the same as what I just said. Be honest with yourself. And it's harder to actually do that than what it is to say it. But I think, you know, really take the time to think through what the church teaches and what you're actually going through as well. And just know that there are people out there you will find people that will love you and support you no matter what your belief system is. And I also think if you do choose to maybe leave the church, if you do identify as being gay or a lesbian or whatever, you can still believe the church too if that's what you want to. Mm-hmm. I personally don't, but I do have friends that have left and are still quite still believe the beliefs. So look, I think
you couldn't have probably summed up the whole hour any better than that. As I said, we have to get out of here, but we have had one last question. I can't even read that. Sorry, we've had a message come through. You might be able to read.
Oh, yes, I did go to Isle of Capri Ward on the Gold Coast, which is just one of the chapels.
Ah, sorry, I apologise, Tracy. I was not familiar with that. Thank you, Brendan. Thank you.
No worries.
So, as I said, Brendan, I wanted to thank you for being really frank, really honest, and being a joy to have in the studio, pardon the pun, but what a beautiful, young and inspirational man. So I hope that people listening out there will see, if they are struggling, they're unsure, that you're an example of confidence and perhaps even a bit of a role model. So,
well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
Well, you have been a joy to have in, and so thank you very much for
Having me.
It has been a pleasure. And so I just wanted to make mention of coming up next, a little bit of a up next is the Spirit Lounge. Joy is not in the studio, but Sarah is the guest host, and she actually has her guest tonight on the Spirit Lounge is Deneen Akers, who is the producer of Seventh Gay Adventist, which was a movie that was on part of the Queer Film Festival last year. So coming into her studio. And I'm going to leave you with your weekly challenge, as I always do. Thank you, Sammy, across the desk. Thank you, Stephen, out on the front desk. And thank you, Brendan, once again. So up next is Spirit Lounge. As I said, your weekly challenge is, what will you do this week to stimulate dialogue, create change, or encourage involvement? You have been listening to Stand Up Straight with Michelle Barber on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.